On May 4, 1970, four students were shot to death by Ohio National Guardsmen on the campus of Kent State University. The people you are about to hear were in Kent in 1970, and all the background sounds were recorded at that time. The shootings lasted 13 seconds, but the causes behind them began 4 days earlier.
Tonight, American and South Vietnamese units will attack the headquarters for the entire communist military operation in South Vietnam.
My name is Alan Canfora. I was a junior, majoring in pre-law. Several of us watched the show on television on the night of April 30th, which was a Thursday evening. And I can recall that we were aware the president was going to be on television, so we gathered to watch, you know, what the development would be. And we were just stunned when he announced that the war was being expanded from Vietnam into another country, into Cambodia.
John Seiberling, candidate for Congress, released this statement to 1150 News just moments ago in regards to the president's Cambodia decision of this past week.
It now appears that the president failed even to consult the Senate or the Senate Foreign Relations Committee before making his decision to send American troops into Cambodia. This is one more bitter fruit of the failure of the Congress.
My name's Jerry M. Lewis. I'm a professor of sociology at Kent State. In May of 70, I was a faculty marshal. The first rally was in the afternoon, and people were protesting the violation of the Constitution because Nixon had declared war, or certainly broadened the war. And so several graduate students representing a variety of departments, but particularly the history department, buried the Constitution as a symbol of its death. And so that was the first rally that occurred, was on Friday afternoon, May 1st.
And one of my roommates said, Alan, come on back up to Kent. It seems that there's going to be a demonstration that evening in the city.
I'm Leroy Satrum. May 4th, I was mayor of Kent. We'd heard some rumors that there might be some problems, and so I called back to my police department and found out that there was some trashing and rioting on North Water Street, so I left the meeting and came back around midnight.
And we moved out into the street and blocked the traffic, and we were wondering if the cops were going to come back, and they didn't. So the crowd grew in size to the point where I think there were perhaps 300 or 400 students in the street, clapping their hands and chanting anti-war slogans.
Well, we found them. They had a burning trash pile in North Water Street in the middle of the street. We couldn't come down the street, and so I went back to City Hall and got organized to break up the crowd.
Portage County Sheriff and campus police in sight everywhere. Here comes a troop of riot squadmen coming down East Main, heading toward the downtown area. A lot of people going down on the south side of East Main, kind of following the riot squadron, consisting of about 25, 30 people.
I was quite disturbed that they would do that, and so we called a curfew and went down and closed up the bars and dispersed the crowd. It was difficult because it was a Friday night. It was warm, one of the first warm nights. There was quite a crowd down there.
My name is Dan Lodea. I was a student at the University of Akron, dating a girl at Kent State. I was a fraternity guy, wasn't very political at the time. Friday night, it was just a fraternity night out. People were out on Water Street having a good time. Things got a little out of hand. It was the first nice night of spring. All I remember was windows started breaking. I don't know who was responsible for it. It could have been the fraternity guys. It certainly wasn't political, that's for sure.
When the signal was given, then the crowd moved down the street, heading south on Water Street, moving toward Main Street to the main intersection. And it was at this point that the first SDS veterans that were on hand that moved the crowd down the street through the first rocks, through the first bank windows.
The four big main picture windows at the First Federal Building here have been broken. And the glass you hear now is the sound of it being knocked out for repair. One big hole at Ohio Edison that's patched up with cardboard and masking tape. It will have to be replaced, however. The City of Kent service trucks downtown on North Water now, helping with cleanup procedures. There's various 55-gallon barrels here just filled with glass. The hardest building hit by count was the Portage National Bank, including the credit
department. My name is Rebel. And the year before May 4th, I was a full-time student at Kent, a math major. I became very active in SDS in the previous year. Was arrested 13 different times.
On the whole, the students on campus are pretty reasonable kids. But they're easily led, though, sometimes by others. There's no question there's an influx of outsiders.
None of the people that would be organizing were actually here in town at that time. Most of us had just gotten out of jail that week. You know, after 3 months or 6 months in jail, you really didn't want to have anything to do with a demonstration.
But our police department, and we had other federal agents in town and so forth. Well, they were here really undercover. They're very secretive.
You know, for me, all I would have had to do was be in Kent on that Friday night, and I would have been arrested for some sort of inciting a riot.
You know, you see these bums, you know, blowing up the campuses. Listen, the boys that are on the college campuses today are the luckiest people in the world.
I am distressed and appalled at the destruction within the city during the past 8 hours. As mayor, I have declared an emergency exists, and a curfew will be in effect at 8 p.m. on Saturday, May 2nd, 1970. We ask for the cooperation of all Kent citizens during this period.
That was Kent Mayor Leroy Satram announcing curfew plans for tonight.
I called him early that Saturday. Might have been during the night. I just wanted to know if he had troops available, if I needed them. They could be available. They were busy, too. A trucker strike on or something, I think they would remain. If I didn't request them by 5, they wouldn't be available that day. That was Saturday.
I'm Charles Fassinger. In May of 1970, I was a lieutenant colonel. I was the commanding officer of the 2nd Squadron of the 107th Armored Cavalry Regiment. I was also the senior commander of troops of the National Guard on the Kent campus.
Saturday was the anti-ROTC action.
Well, that evening, about 8 o'clock, a group of, I believe, mostly students were marching around campus protesting, trying to get people to come out of the dorms to protest the war and head back to the Commons, which was, of course, a traditional gathering place. And a group of students headed for the ROTC building, which was on the edge of the Commons, and began sort of a attack.
I'll never forget that as we came up over Taylor Hill, as we came flooding down that hill, students were just whooping it up, and it was really, you could sense the power of the crowd. And people went down to the ROTC building, and at this point there were no police there. While there were several very inept attempts, very amateurish attempts to set the building on fire.
Chief Miller wants another unit up on campus. The kids have cut the hoses to the fire trucks and they are setting fire to the building. 4-H reports they're stoning the deputies up there. Can you get help up there?
It was a rickety old building. It was built during World War II. It was literally an old army barracks. And I'm sure it was to be torn down soon anyway.
The National Guard is on the interstate. They're coming off the interstate now. They're on the way in up 43.
And so then there was a second attempt by the students to burn the building. Again, a very inept attempt.
I understand they're pulling the fire department out, but the ROTC building is on fire.
Finally, one small corner was caught on fire. Just maybe the flames were 5 or 6 feet high in a window. The firemen came back a second time. And this time they had a lot of police with them and sheriffs, and they started shooting tear gas, and they were taking, I remember, flash photographs. So the crowd moved away from the building, ran across the commons, and as we looked over our shoulders, we saw that there was, the fire was out.
Jones, go ahead, he's answering. Has the troops D-truck and 6 bayonets.
My name's John Baklowski. I was in the 107th Armored Cav out of Ravenna, Ohio. I was 23 years old at that time. I got a phone call that said that there was a problem on campus to get to the unit. Then they trucked us up there. I believe I rushed from work or something.
If you come any further, you will be arrested. Move back up into the building.
It seemed like a lot of confusion, you know. Things were burning. I remember we had to break up little crowds of people at that time.
They don't even list you. I'm in ROTC. I hated to see that building. They didn't care.
How did you get out?
I ran. I dropped the fire extinguisher and ran. They were on that side of the hill. My friend Gaines, I don't know what happened to him. I couldn't go back for him. They're not giving anybody a chance. Here they come now. You better move. Don't run. Not worth it.
And then I remember when the guard and the fire trucks came back the second time, many of the students headed over to the tennis courts on the other side of Commons, and some people attacked shed there, which is used to store equipment, and that was set afire. And many of the students fought that fire, and I stayed there and kind of sort of marshaled because I didn't want the guard to attack the students who were fighting the fire.
Joe, they're in the trees around the library. There's a fire starting now up at the booth. I think the information booth is being lit now.
Some of them thought it was a joke. For one instance, I told this one individual to move. He was by a tree here. Finally, you know, I just had to use not really force, but come on, guy, get out of here. You know, there's enough trouble. And finally, the individual left. I believe some of the guard had tear gas at that time, but I can't really recall. Yes, sir. Yeah, we did, because we had gas masks on. I recall that now, because I had a hard time seeing. We were kind of running and this and that, and your goggles or your glass part was fogging up and that. And he'd have to take it off every once in a while and see where he was going. I had the old M1. I had no ammunition at that time.
Very mysteriously, a half hour after we had left the building, we came back and there was the building. Somebody reignited the building. We think it was a government agent or a police agent or a provocateur that finished the job that the students failed to do, to create the pretext to bring in the National Guard and then to terrorize the students.
Joe, that ROTC building, and they think it's going to go up again, and there's a lot of ammo in there. If you've got some funny little door there, you might have to check.
All right, in the doors and through the glass, and get him in. Keep in line.
Ladies and gentlemen, I suggest if you're not involved, you leave the area. You are subject to arrest.
I've got the National Guard unit. They want to seal off the town.
All right.
You're listening to Remembering Kent State, 1970. 30 years have passed since National Guardsmen shot to death four students on campus. Events over 4 days led to the shootings. Up next, Sunday, May 3rd.
A second night of violence was climaxed by the burning of the Army ROTC building and the calling out of the National Guard at Kent State University Saturday night. University officials estimate damage to the ROTC building at $50,000. Members of the National Guard and State Highway Patrolmen moved.
And then the next day, of course, we heard Governor Rhodes on the radio live during his press conference, and we were in our apartment. We were studying that day. We had exams that week. And we were kind of amused when we heard his extreme rhetoric, but we just thought, well, this is a guy trying to get votes. We had no real thought that the Guard was also listening to this speech. And they heard him say, these are the worst type of people we harbor in America. They're worse than the communists or the Nazis.
And terrorize a community. They're worse than the brown shirt and the communist element and also the night riders and the vigilantes. They're the worst type of people that we harbor in America. And I want to say this, they're not going to take over a campus. And the campus now is going to be part of the county and the state of Ohio. There's no sanctuary for these people. To burn buildings down of private citizens, of business in the community, then run into a sanctuary. It's over with in Ohio.
Well, I think it clearly inflamed the situation. I remember this was an era where law and order and being tough on student protesters and anti-Vietnam protesters was the thing. And so I think it was a very cynical attempt to improve his political chances to win the primary.
Let me also say that death is not going to stand in their way to answer their purpose. And we're going to employ everything that we possibly can to protect the buildings that are paid for by the taxpayers of Ohio. And we expect complete cooperation of everybody involved in this. Colonel Caramani, the Highway Patrol.
Well, we're a mobile organization. We can put 100 men on in a very short time. We have men that are well trained, but they're not trained to receive bricks. We won't take it. Any hoodlum with a gun will be handled the same as any other hoodlum. The next phase that we have encountered elsewhere is where they start sniping. They can expect us to return fire.
Will there be classes held tomorrow?
What's that?
Will there be classes held
tomorrow? As far as I'm concerned, keep the university open. We'll keep it open for you.
General DelCorso, how long do you expect to keep the guards in camp?
Well, I'll answer that till we get rid of them. I don't want to take any authority away from you, General, but I want to cut it short.
You got me outranked, Governor, anyway.
Very nice regard. Give our full support to anything that's necessary. Like the Ohio law said, use any force that's necessary. To the point of shooting. We don't want to get into that, but the law says that we can, if it's necessary.
Let me say this, that if they can intimidate and threaten Joe, the merchants of this community and other people, no one is safe in Portage County. It's just that simple. No one is safe. And I do not believe that people understand the seriousness of these individuals organized in a revolutionary frame of mind, believe me.
Kent State University President Robert I. White issued a four-point statement this afternoon outlining the university's position concerning this weekend's campus disruptions. The president said,
"The hopes of all on campus have been placed in jeopardy, and whether or not any part of that loss can be retrieved depends upon immediate, responsible actions from all quarters of the university community. We must show to the nation that Kent State University has much more to it than the ugliness it has seen in our midst. Second, we ought to be and are grateful for the effort and response from so many members of student and faculty leadership in the various security operations. These efforts helped temper the situation. Third, by order of the governor, the National Guard will remain in the Kent community and campus until its leadership decides their departure is safe. Events have taken those decisions out of university hands. Widespread damage and threats in the community have created an alarming situation. Fourth and finally, the university plans to maintain normal operations and classes will meet as scheduled."
Yeah, I'm Dean Kaler. I was a student at Kent State University in 1970, in the spring of 1970. I was a first quarter freshman at the time of the shootings on May the 4th, 1970. My objections were to war in general and not the war in Vietnam. I grew up as a member of the Church of the Brethren, which is basically a church that has very definite views about pacifism and feeling that there are other ways to solve problems that countries can get into, and we don't need war, and war is something that's wrong and destructive. Sunday afternoon, it was a very festive mood. I mean, I was looking for a friend of mine who was in the National Guard, and his unit had not been brought over to the Kent campus yet, so I didn't get a chance to see my friend, but it was a relaxed atmosphere until it turned dark.
This time, helicopters, two of them, as a matter of fact, or three, I see now, are flying overhead the Kent State University Commons area. It's the very heart of the KSU campus. There are well over 1,000 students now congregated on the slopes of the Commons in front of the Journalism Architecture Building.
Every place you turned, there were guardsmen, personnel carriers, guards, you know. So, yeah, they were all over the place. I was really surprised.
It's now 25 minutes before 9. The group has started to move toward the northeast part of the campus.
The third night of protests at Kent State University has started with a rally on the Commons. Crowds started forming in front of the Kent State Student Union about a half an hour ago while they were meeting.
Students and white-helmeted police are both right in the center of Main and Summit, Main and Lincoln right now, right?
Back around the dorm area around there in the tennis courts and headed for the Commons. They were ringing the victory bell and chanting cries like, "Ho, ho, Ho Chi Minh, we want the Kong to win." They're currently still ringing the bell, trying to get many onlookers to participate in the march. National Guardsmen are reportedly on their way, although they have not been sighted. A state highway patrol helicopter is circling the area at low range. Many of the dorms in the area are emptying as interested students continue to flock down toward the Commons area to watch what could be another protest demonstration in the shadows of the ruins of last night's fire of the ROTC building. Along the march route, this is Greg Benedetti reporting for WKSU News.
Later on that evening, Sunday evening, there were guardsmen, there were guard helicopters flying overhead, which upset a lot of people in the city of Kent.
This is Rusty off campus.
you. Now listen, we've got to be cool. Stay on the campus ground.
Basically, it was a sit down on front campus, and students sat in the street protesting the guard. And we're told that the president of the university was coming to talk with him and never did. And then that rally was broken up by force. It wasn't a rally. It was sort of a spontaneous sit-in.
But then Sunday night, it was tense. I mean, Sunday night was about the scaredest I've ever been in my life. There was a big sit-in out in the street on Route 59 in front of the campus. There were helicopters going up overhead. It was a very, very tense, very, very scary situation. We thought if there was going to be trouble, I would have swore it was going to be that night.
Right now, but we got to be cool. The mayor is probably right here now. I don't know. They're trying to get
in touch with White,
okay? We've got
a curfew
at 1 o'clock,
man.
He's not here then, okay?
That request came down through the police department. They wanted to meet at the gate down there. It never happened, but I guess we didn't visualize anything coming out of it, a meeting of that nature. I was there. in that general area, I saw what was going on because I was incognito. Well, it was kind of a riotous bunch. I mean, I didn't get very close to it, but.
There's some pushing. As the guard moves the students.
Watch it, look at the back.
Attention, all Kent State students, go inside the dorm. Do not remain on the outside.
Major Wallach, any people of resist, arrest them immediately. These people must go immediately to the dormitory or be arrested.
We got gassed again. Oh my goodness, that stuff's horrible. We're standing in the wind, and this thing came directly across on us. Oh, my eyes.
So all you fascists, what is going on there, huh? You're trying to do your own dance.
All these fascists, man.
All these fascists, things going down there.
Yeah.
Hey, you know that was the best name when they called me today.
Fascist pig. That was the nicest thing they could say.
What's the story on when you guys are going to leave? No word.
We're going to be here all day tomorrow. We're going to be on the football field 6 o'clock this morning.
Well, you don't have any idea, but we're here from rumors that it'd be probably Thursday or Friday.
Well, Governor Rhodes announced today. You remember that he'll keep us here forever if necessary. Well, you know what? How would he not work for $12.50 a day forever? 24 hours a day. Yeah, I don't think he'd cut his salary down. He's going to go. These kids are so goddamn in communications. Goddamn, they'll go down the far end of these buildings and talk to each other, and they'll sneak all the way through, and they'll be coming out the first door. I mean, they're well together, man. They got their shit together. We don't. When they tell us, they call us out for Teamster strikes, and we're armed for Teamster strikes, not because they told the truck.
I honestly don't know. We're cruising around. I've got Channel 8 with us because we have to stick together. We've been threatened by the kids and everything else. But
where's those helicopters?
I would suggest they get somebody else down here. This thing's getting hotter and hotter by the minute. As far as I know, they still overpowered a library, and they have to overpower the radio press room, or is that the paper press room they overpowered?
The
school newspaper has been in shambles now. We can't get near it. There's quite a bit of tear gas that's been popped around. We've been gassed, and stones have been flying. One kid's been stabbed. The National Guard's been hurt. It's getting real sticky.
You know what the order was up the president's house, sir?
What?
Huh? Yeah. So you turned around and told them if they moved towards the president's house, they made a line from the side of Berta over up through the president's fence. and they turned around, and we were in the inner perimeter, and they were the outside perimeter, you know. And they said, if they turn around and they're going to tell them to disperse twice, if they don't disperse, fire. They gave them orders to shoot over the crowd.
Fire into the crowd.
They said, fire. They said, shoot low. What the hell is low?
Yeah.
Well, what? A man's stomach? Is that what the hell is low? Knee? If this shit keeps up, they're going to have to tell them.
What?
They're going to have to tell them.
Oh.
They got you. The Yakis in their wagon. Well, they're going against the odds right now that nobody's been killed.
After a calm day on the Kent State University campus, violence erupted for a third successive night as students confronted National Guardsmen and police officers Sunday night. The National Guard, who had announced a 1 a.m. campus curfew earlier in the day, imposed a curfew at 11 p.m. as a result of several violations of orders banning assemblies and demonstrations. Tear gas was used to disperse the crowds. At 12:30 this morning, police reported 44 arrests last night, mostly stemming from curfew violations. The two-day total of arrests now stands at 84. Officials at the University Health Center treated three students and one National Guardsman for injuries. One girl was treated for cuts at the health center and was transferred to Robinson Memorial Hospital, listed in fair condition. The day started with Governor James A. Rhodes visiting the campus, inspecting damage from Saturday night's disturbances. Rhodes declared a state of emergency on campus. By mid-afternoon,